Just before we pray, it might be the right thing to do to welcome visitors with us sitting right here at the front. He tells me that they're like Romania, the people filled from the back up to the front. When I said to him, come up to the front and sit here. So we'd like to welcome Luci, is his abbreviated name, Lucian. And we welcome you, brother, in the Saviour's precious name. And we welcome your wife. I'm going to get the long word and get it right. Alciona. All right. Perfect, she tells me. So that's good. And your two children. It's good to have Ali. And it's good to have Matthias with us tonight. And then Graziella, some of you will know, she's an old friend. Not old in the sense of being old, but old because we've known you for a long time. These folks are from Romania. We've got to know them over the years. Good friends in Christ. And I know that we will be blessed this weekend as the Lord's servant ministers in song. We're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to your testimony. And if Grazie has to take Matthias out, that's fine. And you maybe know straight ahead brings you into the fellowship area and the heating all's on there. Just put the lights on. That's all you'll need. Okay? We'll bow together in prayer. Our Father, we bow together in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We thank thee for the one who loved us with everlasting love. And we can say with the apostle that he loved me and he gave himself for me. We thank thee that it was that love that brought our Saviour into the world. He did not come into this world because there was any good thing in us, we know that. But he came to live among men and to die in the place of sinners because he loved us. And there was no other motive than that great eternal infinite love that was set upon his people from all eternity. And Lord, as we gather here, we want to thank thee afresh for God's love towards a fallen world and his love especially towards us tonight that are saved by his grace. We thank you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he gave him to come into this world, to set aside his glory for a time, to be born in human flesh, to grow up as a young man through all the experiences of our humanity, and then at the age of 30 to be revealed in a very public way regarding his ministry when he went about doing good for those 3.5 years. We thank thee for the example of Christ. We thank thee for his ministry, his preaching. We thank thee for the marvelous miracles that he did when he was here upon the earth, proving that he indeed was the Son of God and walked among us in this world with power, showing forth his own deity in the things that he did. We thank thee for his compassion and his love towards us that brought him eventually to the cross at Calvary, where he laid down his life that we guilty, hell-deserving sinners might be saved. Lord, we're here tonight in this prayer meeting because of your grace. We're here because the Lord loved us. And in the due process of time in our lives, he saved us by his grace. He drew us to himself. We thank the Lord for redemption through the blood of our Saviour. And we thank the Lord for the joy that is in our heart even to proclaim these things. And as our dear sister comes tonight, we pray that you'll bless her. She relates to us her testimony. Tell us how the Lord saved her by grace, that thou will give her words to say. And help Luci tonight to give the interpretation as well. We pray for a conscious sense of the Lord's nearness to us all. We remember very particularly the McLaughlin family in their time of need. And Lord, the hand of death has been upon the church family again. And we want to remember Norman and his children and family circle just now at the throne of grace. We pray that thou wilt bear him up, that thou wilt help him through. We praise thee tonight that Mary was saved. We thank thee that she's with the Lord today. We thank thee for that glorious hope, that certain hope that Norman has as to her whereabouts. She's with the Lord, which is far better. And we pray that this comfort, the comfort of the gospel, will bring consolation and help to those that are grieving just now, Lord, as they carry the burden, a real human burden, of feeling the loss of a dear one that they've known so long, we ask thee that Jesus himself will draw near and go with them. Continue to bless all who mourn and remember the sick of the congregation. Remember John especially this evening. We pray that you'll bless him where he is and Anna too, that thou wilt bring the comfort of the gospel to their hearts and lives also. Fill them with the joy of the Lord. May the joy of the Lord be their strength and bear them up. Remember Nat in hospital also. We commend him to the grace of God and others that are laid aside even with sickness. May they know the touch of the Master's hand. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a hymn of testimony that I think is appropriate to sing just before Elsie comes and tells us how the Lord saved her. And it's the hymn 300. It's on page 297. If you're not familiar with our hymn book, we have the Psalms at the beginning and then the paraphrases and then the hymn. So sort of halfway through, just a little more than halfway through, we have the first hymn in that section of Assurance, Hope and Testimony. And it's a hymn that we love to sing and our young people love to sing it also. My God, I have found in the thrice blessed ground where life and where joy and true comfort abound. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Please, as always, sing of the words as we sing them together, verse by verse. This tremendous build up of the gospel and the great truths of the gospel down line by line. And then the joy in singing these verses that comes from our heart as we sing to the Lord. Hallelujah, thine the glory. The hymn 300.
Amen.
Algie, we're delighted that you're here to give your testimony. And I know that your English is pretty good. I think it is. But I know also that you feel perhaps giving your testimony, you'll be a little bit more at home speaking in Romanian. Now, we don't understand Romanian, so we've got an interpreter. And we're glad to have your husband tonight, Luce. And we're going to invite you to come and tell us how the Lord saved you, what the Lord means to you. Luce's going to sing a piece as well, a little hymn of testimony. And I don't know if it's first or second. I said to Algie, do you want him to sing first or second? And she said first and second. So we'll leave it up to you.
Hello. Maybe Pastor Eugene Grossa, our pastor, has told you how we greet each other as evangelicals in Romania with the word pace. I think you might know it. It means peace, and it means it's a wish that the peace of God would come over you, over your life. And we would like to first to greet you tonight with the peace of the Lord. First of all, I would like to say a few words. It's a great privilege, an honor, and a blessing to be here as family. And we would like to thank you for receiving us, for having us, especially Brother Park, for inviting us and having us into his home. It's great to be here. And we are thankful to God for giving us this opportunity to have a testimony about how God works. And as the hymn says, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Amen. I will allow my wife now to share her testimony. I will interpret for her.
Să vede că ești jumătatea mea, deja mi-ai luat jumătate din cuvinte. Asta era începutul meu.
You already took half of what I wanted to say for start.
Dar oricum vreau și eu să vă mulțumesc pentru invitație.
I would also like to thank you for the invitation.
Deja mă simt ca acasă.
I already feel like home here.
Numele meu este Alciona Boangiu și am 34 de ani.
My name is Alciona Boangiu and I'm 34 years old.
I'm married. I'm sorry.
I may step down.
Sunt căsătorită cu Luci de 14 ani și am doi copii.
Me and Luci have been married for 14 years now and we have been blessed with two children.
Și încă de când m-am născut, am simțit o dragoste deosebită cu care Dumnezeu m-a iubit.
And I can say that even from when I was born, since I know myself, I felt a special love that God loved me with.
M-am născut în familie de creștini ortodoxi.
I was born in a family of Orthodox Christians.
Mama mea l-a cunoscut pe Dumnezeu, dar s-a căsătorit cu tata și apoi a întrerupt orice relație cu Dumnezeu.
My mother knew the Lord in her youth in an evangelical church, but then she married to my father broke every connection with the church and with God.
Dar bunicul din partea mamei mele a fost un om cu totul deosebit.
But my grandfather from my mother's side was such a special man.
Și la noi în România se spune că dacă nu ai oameni în vârstă să-ți cumperi unii.
In Romania, we have a saying that whoever doesn't have elders should buy some.
El m-a luat de la familia mea și m-a dus la biserică și pastorul de la biserică s-a rugat pentru mine.
He was a strong Christian, and when I was little, as a baby, he took me to the church and dedicated me to the Lord in the church and had the church pray for me.
Mai am o soră care este cu aproape 2 ani mai mare decât mine.
I have a sister that's almost 2 years older than me.
Și am avut o copilărie foarte fericită. Mama mea ne-a iubit întotdeauna foarte, foarte mult.
And I can say I had a very wonderful childhood. My mother loved us so much.
La fel era și cu tata. Ce mi-aduc aminte de el era că se juca foarte mult cu noi și petrecea mult timp cu noi.
I can say that for my father also. I remember that he used to spend a lot of time with us and play with us.
Dar mi-aduc aminte foarte bine și de momentele în care bea foarte mult.
But I also remember that he was a heavy drinker. He used to love alcohol.
Dacă ar fi după mine, n-aș pune ciocolată, nici în ciocolată, niciunde. Aș vrea să nu se mai fabrice.
If it was for me, I would not put alcohol, not even in chocolate. I really hate alcohol.
Despre copilăria mea, îmi aduc aminte că eram foarte ambițioasă și întotdeauna eram.
I remember that I used to be very ambitious as a child.
Și,
and I tried to be strong.
Și întotdeauna îmi doream să fiu cea mai bună.
Strong-willed and I tried to be the best at everything I did.
Și eram foarte rea cu sora mea.
Now I was treating my sister pretty badly.
În clasa 5 am început să fac sport de performanță.
In the fifth grade I started to play professional handball.
Și aș fi făcut orice să fiu cea mai bună.
And I would have done anything to be the best at what I did.
Fugeam până eram bolnavă, dar să nu fie nimeni în fața mea.
I would train so hard, I would run so much even if that meant I felt sick afterwards, but I wanted to be the best.
Da. Dar cu ajutorul lui Dumnezeu, mama mea a început să remeargă la biserică când eu aveam 12 ani.
But with the help of God, my mother started to go back to church, to the evangelical church, when I was 12 years old.
Și față de toți ceilalți copii de la grupele de copii, eu nu știam despre nimeni din Biblie.
And I remember going to the children's meetings and everybody knew so many things and so many characters from the Bible and I did not know any.
Și am început să mă îndrăgostesc de Dumnezeu.
And I started to fall in love with God.
Citeam din Biblie ore în șir doar să văd ce s-a mai întâmplat, cum Dumnezeu a reușit să izbăvească oamenii lui.
I remember reading from the Bible, loving to read from the Bible about the wonders and the works of God and his people.
A mers aproximativ 3 ani. Și la 16 ani m-am decis să-L urmez pe Dumnezeu cu toată inima mea.
I started going to church at 12 and I went regularly for 3 years until I decided to give my heart and my life to God.
Și în același timp era un conflict destul de mare între sportul de performanță, care știți nu e un mediu prea plăcut, și
at the same time I could sense a pressure and a conflict between performance sports, and I don't know how it is here in Northern Ireland, but in Romania is not a great environment to be in.
Dar acum că așa este săptămâna de misiune, unul din păstori mi-a spus
Now that we're going to have the missionary weekend, I can tell you that one of the pastors has told me
să mă duc la sport și să-l arăt pe Dumnezeu că poate e singura Biblie pe care ei poate să o citească.
One of the pastors, I remember his words, said that I should go and not stop going to train at professional handball, because my teammates need to see Christ in me, and because that might be the only Bible they would ever see.
Viața mea s-a schimbat în totalitate și Dumnezeu mi-a făcut să am trecere în fața colegilor mele și ne rugam și era un timp special.
Mai scurt. My life completely changed since Christ has entered my heart, since I believed and repented of my sins, and my relationship with my teammates completely changed.
Apoi, după ce am terminat liceul,
after I graduated high school,
am mers la facultate.
At 16 years old, I professed my faith in Christ in the church through baptism, and then when I graduated high school, I went to college.
Mama spunea că dacă te faci asistent social, primești și plată și răsplată.
My mother used to say, it's hard to translate sometimes, my mother used to say that, I want to study theology and social work. And my mother used to say that if you become a social worker, you get paid and also rewarded.
Acolo l-am întâlnit pe Luci.
It is there in college that I met my husband.
My greatest blessing.
She started again in English.
Și prin mărturia aceasta pe care am spus-o.
And through this testimony that I just shared with you.
Am vrut să arăt un Dumnezeu care m-a iubit în ciuda
I wanted to show you a God that loved me despite the fact that I didn't deserve it.
Și dacă ar mai fi să aleg de 1000 de ori, tot pe Dumnezeu l-aș alege.
And if I had to make this decision again 1000 times, I would choose God 1000 times over.
Pentru că m-a ales.
Because he has chosen me first.
Și pentru că e o întâlnire de rugăciune.
And because this is a prayer meeting.
După ce eu și sora mea ne-am hotărât să-l urmăm pe Domnul.
After me and my sister decided to follow the Lord.
Ne-am rugat 10 ani pentru tata.
I want to tell you that we prayed for 10 years for my father.
Am și postit, ne-am rugat.
We prayed and fasted for our father.
Pentru că ortodoxii în România nu practică ceea ce.
Because I don't know if you know about the Orthodox Church in Romania, but most of the Orthodox Christians do not live the life. They believe more in tradition rather than the Bible.
Și aproape că nu mai aveam speranțe că tata o să se pocăiască.
And I really didn't see hope for my father to become a real Christian, a born again Christian.
Dar ca printr-o minune, odată când a fost botez,
God works miracles, and God answers prayers. And after 10 years, My father gave his heart to the Lord.
Și încurajarea mea pentru dumneavoastră.
And my encouragement to you tonight.
Este să nu abandonați niciodată visurile dumneavoastră și rugăciunile dumneavoastră.
Is to never give up praying.
Pentru că așa cum noi ascultăm copiii noștri.
Because as we listen to our children.
Dumnezeu ne iubește cu mult mai mult.
To our children's demands and requests, God loves us far more than we love our children.
Mulțumesc că m-ați ascultat.
And he will answer at his time. Thank you for listening to me.
God bless you.
Maybe when you look at me, you think I don't have much. But there is one in whom I know that I have placed my trust. One in whom I've given my heart and I've given my very soul. A king that has a heart of purest gold. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. And if there was ever one man in whom I could place my trust, it is Jesus. Have only come to prove the things I knew were true, that everything is promised me is always followed through. He's never let me down and he's never let me go astray. His gentle touch and his guiding hand leading all the way. And it is Jesus. It is Jesus. And if there was ever one man in whom I could place my trust, it is Jesus. And if there was ever one man in whom I could place my trust, it is
be able to cure the ills of a child. Little Matthias is just 15 months and they've been travelling since 3:30 this morning, their time, so it's been a long day so far for them, and I don't know whether we say it, if they need to go over home, we'll get that sorted out, get the wee one to bed, but that's in order, of course. I'd like to thank Elchie in her absence for the testimony tonight, for the grace of God that has triumphed in her life. And we thank you, Lucci, for interpreting. And we look forward to you ministering in song over the weekend. Just a few announcements. There's a short committee meeting tonight for our members of session and committee. So please don't go home without spending a few minutes with us. Tomorrow night, commences the special missionary weekend, and this is the 48th one, and the meeting is at 8 o'clock on Friday night, and then 7:30 on the Saturday night, and then the regular meetings on the Lord's Day. We look forward to those that are taking part, and the program is all there, and we trust the Lord's blessing will be upon it, and we'll have something to say about that just in a few minutes' time before we get down to our time of prayer, because we really want to bring this before the Lord. And please remember, ladies, we're looking to you for your help, providing supper and those things that are necessary. The Lord's Day, we begin with the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, and then our Sunday school and Bible class following. Remember the prayer time before the evening service also. And remember, please, as we give to the Lord's work over the weekend to the various missionary causes that will be represented through the weekend. We do extend our sympathy to the McLaughlin family, and we want you as a congregation to be remembering them in prayer. And the service will be here in Hebron on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I want you to pray for them, that the Lord will sustain them. Mary knew the Lord. She was converted when she was 13, and she lived till she was 81. So she's had a long life knowing the Lord, walking with God, and the example that she gave. But it is a time of parting, and Norman really feels that, as you can appreciate, in the family too. So they need the prayerful support of God's people here. We want you to continue in prayer for the sick of the congregation. Our brother John Curry was to travel today to Scotland. He had spent Christmas with Richard, and his plan was to spend a few days over the weekend with Janice, his daughter. But yesterday he really did not feel well enough for the journey, and so had to cancel. Janice and Craig will be coming over on Friday to spend the weekend with their mum and dad. But we do ask you to continue to pray for John, for Nat, for Matthew, and for the others that are sick. And let's really pray for a visitation of God this year. We're going to just read a passage of Scripture with you, and then we'll sing a hymn. Matthew chapter 9. And then we'll sing a hymn, and as the hymn is sung, there's a few little sheets we want to give out just to set before you the requests for this weekend particularly. Tonight we also remember the school, and next week in our week of prayer we can remember the school again and the children's work of our church. But we're right now on the eve of the missionary weekend, and this weekend is a highlight for us in our service for Christ in this place. And the Lord has been pleased to put his hand upon these weekends in the past. He's spoken very, very clearly to young people. We know of quite a few that gave themselves over to the Lord to serve the Lord right here at home. We know of others, because of our missionary weekend and the challenge, went to serve the Lord for a little time in the mission field, even as a result of last year. And we thank God for those that have felt the call of God into the Lord's work. So we are praying that the Lord will do a mighty work among us this weekend. And we have a great responsibility to pray. And that's why I'm directing your attention to this very familiar portion of Scripture, those last verses of Matthew 9. And as we read them together, we don't want the familiarity of the Word of God to take away in any way from this passage of Scripture. And as we read it, may the Spirit of God teach us these things afresh, write them upon our hearts, cause us to see the things that we need to see tonight and hear the things that we need to hear. Verse 35 tells us that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This was the great part of our Lord's ministry when he walked among men for 3.5 years, teaching, preaching, and healing the sick. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I was just thinking about this passage of Scripture last night, and I'm always impressed when I read it. The Lord touches my heart. He renews a burden, a vision in my soul for the lost, and there is the cry of heart, I want to be like the Saviour, just in the things here that we read about. And I thought about the eyes of Christ, because we do read about the eyes of Christ here. We read about what he saw, and the Scripture tells us he saw the multitudes. And brethren and sisters, we need to see the multitudes. And the multitudes here were a great innumerable people who were without the Lord, and Christ set his eyes upon them. And we ought to be challenged every day when we see the multitudes. There are times when we are gathered with many people around us, in your place of business perhaps, in your place of education, or in the midst of a busy shopping area, the multitudes all around. Or if you ever have the opportunity of walking through some of our towns and housing estates, the multitudes are there. Do we see the multitudes who are without the Lord? I want to have the eyes of Christ. I want to see what the Saviour saw. I want my eyes to be upon the multitudes right here in the town where God has placed us. I want to see the unconverted round about us. And then I thought that we also see the feelings of Christ, because it tells us something here about when he saw the multitudes, when his eyes saw the people, what he saw and what he knew about their lost condition affected him inwardly. Because the Scripture says he was moved with compassion. And men and women, that's feelings. The Lord was moved. And if you were to look up the original Greek in this passage, you will see that the reference there is to the moving of the inner man. And the thought even is of the bowels. And we know that the bowels have a very physical function within the body. When we think of the stomach and all the intestines that the Lord has given to us for the digestion of our food. But you will know what it is to be moved inwardly, to be moved in the bowels. Sometimes when you're asked to give your testimony, you've got strange feelings in here, right in here in your stomach, and you're moved inwardly, maybe even through fear. And sometimes when the Lord touches our hearts too, when we see the unconverted, we have a real moving inwardly. And this is what the Saviour felt. And I want to feel like Jesus Christ. Never forget the humanity, the real humanity of the Son of God. And never forget that within that body, there was the divine being of God dwelling. And he took upon himself that body. And as he walked among men and he saw the multitudes around him, he felt inwardly. May the Lord give us feelings for those that are not saved. And move our hearts, move us to tears, move us with a real burden and a vision. We not only see the eyes of Christ and the feelings of Christ, but we see the thoughts of Christ. What did he think when he saw the people and he was moved inwardly? It says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And this is what the Lord thought when he saw them and he was moved inwardly because of their lost condition. We see the very thoughts of the Son of God. Here are a people, and he speaks about it here, they are fainting in a spiritual sense. They're scattered. They are a people who have no shepherd. The shepherds of that time did not care really for the spiritual well-being of the people. Just like we see the other religions of the world. And that's all they are. They are religions without truth. We see some of these religions that have a semblance of Christianity, and we think of the Orthodox Church, we think of the Roman Catholic Church, and in many cases they will take the same terms as we will use, maybe not so much in the evangelical sense, but they will profess to read the same Bible, or at least an interpretation or a translation of the Bible, but they don't care, really, for the spiritual, eternal well-being of the people, nor can they, for they are the blind leading the blind, and they know not Christ. But here the Lord moved regarding the people of his day. He had these thoughts. These people are scattered. These people are without a true shepherd. There's no one to guide them in the way of salvation, and the Lord really felt for them. And then we see the lips of Christ, because he's got something to say as he sees, as he feels, and as we see his thoughts here or understand his thoughts. He's got something to say, and we see his lips speaking to his people and to you and me tonight, not just to these disciples unto whom these words were first spoken, but to the church of Jesus Christ worldwide. And he says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And as I thought about these couple of verses, and I'm not preaching tonight, I'm just laying some thoughts with you, before you. We have three thoughts here, the declaration of Christ. And what does he declare here concerning the great work? He says the harvest truly is plenteous. Every farmer wants to see that kind of harvest as he looks out into the fields in a physical sense. But now the Lord is looking out into the world, and he's looking out upon the people in the spiritual sense. And he's saying the harvest is plenteous. It's a great harvest, men and women. And a harvest that needs to be gathered in. And we have mammoth responsibilities, you and I as God's people, right here on the home front as well as the mission field. And we're standing on the eve of our missionary weekend. How great is our responsibilities, even as we think of the great harvest of the world, as we listen to the reports, as we seek through the word of God to bring that challenge to those that gather. So we have the declaration of Christ. He's declaring the harvest is great. It's plenteous. But then we have the lamentation of Christ. And the Lord lamented over something that was very real. Here's a great harvest, but he says the laborers are few. I've often been struck by that when the Christ of God walked upon this earth, when Jesus, who was God manifested in human flesh, was here, when he dwelt among us, and he walked about among the multitudes, you would think that when Jesus was on earth, there would be no lack of laborers. There would be plenty who would want to follow, and plenty who would want to serve, but that was not the case. Perhaps even much more now in his absence in the physical sense. He's still present with his church in a real way, but he's no longer physically upon the earth. And he lamented in his day, the laborers are few. And that has been the lamentation through the centuries in the Christian church. And no matter what period of the church you read about, and no matter what part of the world you read about, this is always the lamentation. This is always the cry of the heart. Here's a great harvest. There's a multitude, and they're dying in their sin, and they're going out into hell. But the laborers are few. We need to see that, men and women. We need to understand that. I can't help but think of a funeral service that took place in this church not so long ago. And that day we could rejoice in the fact and the reality that the man who died was with the Lord. And there was a man who sat, as you well know, in that meeting with his son, and who carried the coffin of Morris with his son. And as he walked away from the grave that day through the cemetery, he made the comment, "I wonder who will be next." And little did he know that the next day he himself would be the next, and he dropped dead. We need to reach men and women and young people before they die, because when they die, it's too late. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And we do not believe in a one-man ministry. Some people would accuse us of that. We don't believe. We believe in the body of Christ. And we believe there's a ministry for every single Christian. And so the minister, the elders, the committee men, the members of the church, the adherents of the church who are true believers, God has given to you a ministry. And he wants you to serve him. The laborers are few. May the Lord put his hand upon many this weekend, maybe you tonight. So we have the declaration of Christ, the harvest is plenteous. We have the lamentation of Christ, the laborers are few. And then we have the instruction of Christ. What do we do faced with such a dilemma? There's a great harvest, but there's so few gathering it in. What do we do? Well, the Savior directs us what we are to do. We're to pray. And that's what we're here to do tonight. And I want this missionary weekend to be bathed in the prayers of God's people. Pray ye, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. There's the harvest. Lord, send forth laborers. He's the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord to move in hearts this weekend. To move among us here in Ballymoney. And other young people who will attend particularly the Friday night meeting, and some will return on the Saturday night, but through the whole weekend, that the Lord will be putting his hand upon this individual and that individual and calling them to a specific work, challenging them with regard to their ministry right where they are. And there's a ministry right here at home. People are dying around you. The multitudes are dying around you and dying without a Savior. And then for others, challenging them with regard to the foreign field, places in Europe, places further afield. We will be hearing about Kenya and Uganda and Nepal and places like that. Let's really pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. With that in mind, we're going to sing together the hymn 646. The hymn comes from the section of prayer, and the little leaflets will be given out to you as we sing the hymn. But it's reminding us who we're coming to. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Therefore will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. You ever think about that? You can never ask too much from the Lord. He is a God of great supply, of infinite supply. And let's remember, as we bow together in prayer tonight, that we're coming to the King, who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The hymn 646.